Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Caleb Patterson, Midwest Local P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you're a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, and a vehicle, a Woody 2, chocolate swirl, chipmunk to drive through your goals. What that?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream. Woody 2!
Chocolate squirrel up in here.
Check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. Now, let's have some real talk about some real people and real situations, because that's who we are. Hey, Des, how you doing?
I am doing great. And, you know, I am going to – we have a special guest tonight, and obviously a special show because we're not usually on Mondays, but here we are. So I really want to give an update on the IPE World, but we're going to save that for tomorrow night so we can jump right into our guest tonight. So with that, Kaylin, if you want to – if you would be so kind as to introduce our guest and set us up for what we're talking about tonight, that would be fab.
Okay. And we got to have fab. We got to. Because
we got
it.
We got to.
It should be Fanta, but well. Tonight, you know, this is a special episode. We have a special guest. And time is precious, so I'm not going to delay it too long. I'll let him introduce himself. I'll let him introduce the topic we're talking about. And then we'll go from there, because his time is precious, because he's got so much going on in his life. So go ahead, Mike.
All right. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
We're
excellent.
Fantastic.
Excellent. All right. Excellent. Well, for those of you out there who don't know me, you know, my name is Mike Lepowski. I am one of the four co-founders of the Drug-Free Athletes Coalition, better known as the DFAC. And so I know that I was asked to be here tonight to really discuss the situation that took place last week at the World Finals.
Yes.
Those on Facebook who are connected with me, you know, already know a little bit of the backstory, and I know you guys have already discussed it on previous shows. And it was involving, you know, it's one of those situations where it's one that's definitely a little more personal to me, because we did have an athlete who, prior to even doing her polygraph, was disqualified from the show, and that was because one of the supplements that she had, you know, willfully written down as being as taking and leading up to the show fell under the WADA banned substance list. And so that competitor happened to also be my sister. So it was quite an interesting, you know, scenario for me, you know, having landed in Miami, and just as, you know, how it happens these days, right? You hit the ground and now you finally got service. And so your phone starts blowing up. Well, mine's blowing up, and it's text messages, you know, from my wife saying, hey, you got to call me, you got to call me, it's about your sister. So get on the phone, get to talk to her, and she just gives me the rundown that your sister was disqualified from the show. So immediately, you know, I'm asking questions, what happened, you know, how did this happen? And she said, well, basically, your sister, prior to the poly, exactly as I had explained. We always ask the athletes to just, you know, write down all the supplements they've been taking leading up to the competition or during the competition season. And so our drug controller, who's phenomenal, Davey J, immediately pointed out that one of the substances that she was taking, the product that she was taking, fell under the banned substance list. Now, again, I've heard the talk, you know, I totally get it, because I come from that standpoint, well, it's up to the athlete. You know, and those who know the story know that the product was recommended to her by her coach. And so a lot of us these days, you know, are using coaches. We're utilizing them for their knowledge, for their expertise to get us into peak condition. And so it's become common practice for many coaches to be associated with certain supplement companies to, again, provide another source of income for them, another source of revenue, which, again, from a business standpoint, I totally get. But I think we've also entered this stage in natural bodybuilding in particular, where now you have a lot of these companies who are vying for each natural bodybuilder's, you know, dollar, so to speak, you know, and they're promoting products that are going to help take them to the next level. And again, that's all well and fine. But the trouble is that, of course, we know that there's these issues regarding what banned substance lists we're following. And so it was very evident to my sister that, you know, anything that she took had to be WADA compliant. You know, we've been talking about this for years, family dinners and such. So she's very familiar. And so in asking for the or in the coach giving the recommendation, you know, it was told to her that it was WADA compliant. Well, clearly it wasn't. And as I said, just going back to, it's always up to the competitor to check. In her defense, she did go on WADA's banned substance list and plugged in the ingredients, and nothing came up. And I even went so far as to go into Global Dro, which is another resource that competitors out there should be utilizing. And in there as well, you could put in the active ingredients, and yet nothing came up. And so really, you know, part of the problem is many of the products these days, they are not, you know, there's nothing on them that lets competitors know whether or not what they're using is compliant with the organization they're competing with. And in this case, you had, you know, one of the ingredients, which is a non-selective beta-2 antagonist, which is, again, banned by WADA as being the ingredient. But the problem that we have is that at this point, it's impossible, like, for WADA, for the USADA, for the IOC, et cetera, to produce a list of the names of every banned ingredient, because what many companies are doing today is that they're just putting new names or new labels on these ingredients that are going into these products. So it's really difficult for them to keep up. And so that's why you have organizations like WADA that use catch-alls, and by catch-alls I mean, you know, they use the category of beta-2 antagonist, and if anything falls underneath that, then, you know, it's going to be considered banned. But the problem that we run into constantly is that with the names changing, you know, and with this constant flow of new stuff that's coming out, it falls underneath that category, but it hasn't kept up yet with being actually loaded up into WADA or the IOC or the USADA's list. And so it's very easy for a competitor to take something that obviously they shouldn't be utilizing. So the question, I think that, you know, what this comes down to in the world of natural bodybuilding is labeling. And honestly, even if we just take a step back and let's look beyond natural bodybuilding, right? You have out there, you have collegiate athletes and professional athletes who are also utilizing supplements because they're trying to get their edge as well. You know, they're trying to recover faster. They're trying to have stronger workouts, right? So everybody's looking for whatever they can use that they can use comfortably knowing that they're not going to get popped for anything. And so they grab these things off the shelf. But unless they do possess a deep knowledge and understanding of biochemistry and sports nutrition, they have no idea what they're taking, and they have no idea that it can cost them either their career, a season, or in the case of a pro athlete, thousands of dollars in fines. So, you know, I mean, it's what happened with my sister is obviously a terrible situation, and, you know, I'm wearing two hats in this whole thing. You know, it's big brother who's, like, devastated for his sister because I know how hard she worked. You know, I know that she put in a full year of contest prep just to prepare for this moment, and, you know, that moment gets whisked away. At the same time, you know, as a co-founder, as a head of an organization, hey, rules are rules, you know, and it's you got to stick by them. And I know that, you know, we in the DFAC, we would never compromise our integrity, you know, over a situation like this. And thankfully, you know, I have a sister who, again, we were raised the same way, so it would be completely expected that she would not be looking for any preferential treatment in this situation. So, you know, it just kind of leaves us in a situation that it's an unfortunate one. You know, my hope is that something more comes about from this. As I said, I would really love to see some companies take the step, especially if they are so, you know, dead set on marketing to the natural bodybuilding community. You know, taking that step to label your products and let people know if it if it falls under a certain category, or if it can't be utilized by a competitor, if it can't be utilized by a professional athlete. Because as I said, this is not just about natural bodybuilding. This goes far beyond that.
Yes, it does.
No, totally. Yep. Totally. And I would just say, so just a couple of points to, I guess, corroborate some of the things that you were saying. So, you know, when we had started to first cover this story, Kaylin and I also went to the WADA site and plugged in the ingredients. And as you said, they weren't there. And then we went so far as to look for beta 2 agonists, which is there. But the thing that's kind of tricky there is when you talk about a beta 2 agonist, a lot of times it comes out, or at least when I hear it through some folks, it's antagonist. And if you were to type in beta 2 antagonist versus beta 2 agonist, which can be an easy sleight of the ear, it's not going to come up mm-hmm. under that category either. So even if you have sure. a broad term that would show up, but you type it in incorrectly, it's not going to be there. And then if you don't know the products that fall under that broad term, like a beta 2 agonist, it's not going to be there. And so one of the points that we wanted to make sure that all the athletes understood is, yes, the resources are there, but evidently you have to be so, so careful and even more knowledgeable in what it is that you are looking for, because it may not be obvious. So I just wanted to reiterate that point to just remind folks once again, yep, the resources are there, but as we're learning, it's not a perfect system if you don't quite know what it is exactly that you're looking for. And then secondly, to the point about these supplement companies, that if they do want the natty's dollars, you know, I would also like to see them step up and, you know, label specifically what those products are, what is and isn't appropriate for a natty competitor. Because if you want to be that supplement provider for both sides of the equation, cool. You know what? I got nothing against that. But you need to let folks know what that is, and you need not to market them to natties if it is not appropriate for them to take. And I just put that out there because Kaylin and I were just at a show this past weekend, and there was a supplement provider there, the one in particular that we're talking about, Core Nutritionals, and they had at least two of the three products there that natural athletes should not be taking on the table at a natural show. Now, I don't know if that's ignorance on whoever's part that is. Those are probably their top sellers, and so they brought their best products, their top sellers, to the show because that's what they're most excited about. But the point is, they shouldn't have been there, and their team should have understood that they shouldn't have been there.
I mean, but you know what? I'll play devil's advocate for a second. In their defense, depending upon the show that you're at, their products may be absolutely fine to use underneath that organization's banned substance policy. So, this is part of the dual issue that's going on here. Is that, okay, yes, I think that the supplement companies definitely should be taking a little bit more responsibility for what they put out there and letting people know. Because as I said, this goes beyond natural bodybuilding. They don't listen, this industry, the sports nutrition supplement industry, is set to become a $45 billion industry by 2022. So that means you have companies that are vying for their piece of the pie. And how do you do that? You produce products that get people a result, and those people get excited about that result, and they tell other people about that result. And so it starts this snowball effect, which is what any business is looking for, right? They want people talking about their products, using their products, which is all well and fine. But the issue is that it's not just natural bodybuilders. Like I said, you have collegiate athletes, you have professional athletes who are also using these same things because they're looking to get their edge. And so they don't know that what they're using can get them kicked out of their league or suspended for a season or, again, result in fines. So it should be on the responsibility of these companies, especially if they're taking the tact of changing names, which then goes into, are they just doing this to be deceptive? They're the ones who could clearly state whether or not their product is usable under organizations or within sports that follow this banned substance list. Now, that aside, natural bodybuilding. Okay, you have the alphabet soup of natural bodybuilding organizations, and you have some claiming that they follow WADA, others saying we use a piece of WADA, and then, you know, we make up the rest. So depending upon which organization you're competing in, you know, it might be absolutely fine to use, you know, Core Hard or, you know, anybody else's product. But that's the problem, is that then you're also limiting, you know, what organizations you can compete in, which is a
yes.
terrible situation, obviously, for natural bodybuilding as a whole.
Yes.
So I don't know what the answer is. You know, it comes down to, you know, situations like this that unfortunately have to bring the issue to light. I mean, me and my sister, we both come from the point of view is, you know, we believe in God's plan and what he has in store for all of us. And if this situation happened simply to you know, shed more light and bring this topic into the spotlight, because again, how do you get any more in the spotlight than an organization's founder's own family failing the drug test?
True.
And again, I don't say, you know, she didn't fail a drug test per se, but again, utilizing a product unknowingly. Now,
yep.
Also, could there have been one more step? Sure. The one more step could have been, you know, going directly to the DFAC drug controller and asking whether or not the product being used is okay. And I think that is something that competitors from here on out really should consider as well, is before you take something, despite who tells you that it's okay, you know, go right to the top of the organization. You know, I mean, you're going to just have to do your due diligence at this point and go to the very, very top. You know, when I
yep.
saw my sister four
Good
weeks
point.
Before this all happened, you know, she just turned to me and said, hey, you know, my coach suggested I take something, but don't worry. He said it's WADA compliant. So I shrugged my shoulders, say, great. Okay. You know, I'll see you in a few weeks. Like, what else is
yeah.
there? There's nothing more to say. And plus, you know, from my position, I'm not our drug controller. I don't know every ingredient that is banned under every category. But it's like, you have to go like right to the source. You know, but that's unfortunately the place that we've gotten to until some actions are taken where companies take a little bit more responsibility and do things what I think is just with more moral integrity, which is label it so that people know exactly what it is. You know, not just put on there that this is going to make your muscles harder, this is going to give you more of an anabolic effect, burn more fat. Like, tell people what it is, you know, and
yeah.
then let them decide. Because, you know, the truth is like, we spoke with my sister about it, and it's like, had it been suggested to her, like, would she even know about this product? Would she have even taken it? And her answer was no. So
yep.
it's like you trust in somebody, and which I get, you should trust in your coach, but it's just, you know, like I said, it's an unfortunate situation, and it's not about passing the blame. You know, we're not passing the blame to anybody, saying this person's responsible, that person's responsible. But I think everybody does play a small role. And if
yes.
people operated their businesses a little bit differently, I think that much of this would be avoided.
Very true. And, you know, just to piggyback what Dancy said, is we actually did a live survey when we were doing the show, and we had our listeners look up that information, and one out of 27 were able to find it. One. So, you know, if you start making those numbers larger, that's a big gap happening for people that are trying to truly compete as natural athletes. I mean, because, you know, there's always going to be the ones that are looking for that, and I'll put that in air quotes, leg up, and, you know, willing to do anything. But then there are true natural athletes that are basically getting thrown under the bus because, like you said, if they're not getting the correct information, then they're getting the wrong information. And that's the best way to say it. So, you know, in the
sure.
future, moving forward, how – because, you know, I'll tout the horn for P4P right now, and, you know, we're third-party tested, and the athletes are drug tested, you know, and this is during the off-season. So, you know, there's ways to do it. It's going to cost. You know, like you said, if they're looking for straight profit and no other thing than profit, you know, forget maturity or responsibility, then yeah, you're going to have some you're going to have instances like this in the future. But if you know you have if you're going to cater to the natural athlete, then we have to truly be willing to cater ourselves in that same fashion and basically address. I mean, just be adults in how we handle this, because there seems to be a lot of leeway in what is considered natural, like you're saying. If they're willing to take a piece of water, which means they're basically destroying the rest, then how is that water? And if you have people that are basically bending the rules, like, you know, most people had suggested could have been done with your situation, and thank God that you guys did hold yourself to a higher standard. But, you know, there's always that opportunity to screw up, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I, like I said, again, not to beat a dead horse, but the one thing that kills me with natural bodybuilding organizations is, like, again, everybody just wants to make their own rules. And, you know, they are basing their decisions as to what should and should not be on the list based on personal preference, you know. And that, like I said, if you're going to have any type of situation where athletes can feel comfortable that they could compete from one organization to the next, then, yeah, everybody should be kind of on the same page, you know, and not, you know, cherry picking what it is that's okay and what's not. So, yeah, I mean, we decided to go by WADA because why? Because we didn't want to be in that position where we were being, you know, accused of cherry picking for our own personal gain, or that because, you know, we had certain athletes that we knew were using something, but we still wanted them to compete in our organization. You know, it's easier to just say, hey, let this third party, this organization that makes the rules for pretty much everybody in athletics, tell us what's okay and what's not. And I don't understand the problem with that or the problem people have with that. And you can go have a whole other show, and I'm sure you have, and will in the future more on, you know, well, what makes, you know, natural bodybuilding so different than contact sports and this and that. Like, you hear all those crazy arguments. It's like, it's not the point. It's not about whether or not it's a contact sport or it's a pageant or this and that. It's that somebody has to set the rules for everyone else to follow. And, you know, it's just easier for everybody to get on one page and just follow it and, you know, make the lives of competitors a lot easier.
It should be. It really should be.
So with that, Mike, I just want to say, I know you have to go so we could keep going, but I want to be respectful of your time, but to say thank you for jumping on board, on the show to just share more with us. And, you know, this conversation will continue. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Multivitamin. Oh, so, and real quick, so Mike has to leave so early because he has another podcast that he is jumping on where he's talking about health and wellness. And tonight's episode is about multivitamins, which we wanted to hear about too, but alas, we're out of time. So we will have to have Mike back so he can share some health tips with us on another show if that works out for you, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, perfect. Well, you have a fantastic night, and thanks again for jumping on the show with us.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate your time. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow. That would be really heartbroken. You know, and he thank God he believes in Jesus, because, you know, that's pretty much what gets you through situations like that. Wow, I'm just, you know, what do you say? What do you say?
I don't know what you do say, but I am glad that we are having this conversation. And just to be clear about my comments earlier, I am not bashing Core Nutritionals. And it's not because I'm afraid that they might feel that way, but just because I'm just not. I mean, they put out a quality product, no doubt. What I would like to see, though, even though there is a differences in the natty organizations on what some allow and what don't allow, if you are going to draw your line in the sand and say that you are a marketer to the natural bodybuilder, which when you show up at one of their shows as a sponsor, I feel that's like what you're saying, then I would like to see a commitment from these supplement companies that at least say, I am not going to bring any product that any natural bodybuilder should not take, regardless of whether or not that organization allows that particular product or not. You know, I would just like to see them say, it is our promise that we want all natural bodybuilders, regardless of the organization, to be able to safely enjoy our products. Therefore, if there is one product that is not accepted in a natural organization, we will not promote that product at any natural event. That's what I would like to see, and that's the point I was trying to get across, because they do have products that produce results. They have products for natties that produce results. They have products for people outside of natural bodybuilding that produce results, and they're good products. I would just like to see them not promote any of the products that no natty could take at any natural show. So I just wanted to make that point clear.
Well, also,
so,
you know,
but,
and,
yeah.
Since we're doing a live show and it's real talk, we have to address, you know, the competitors being at that show themselves where, you know, they're getting the goodie bag and they're wondering, all right, what can I take from here? Because, like, everyone's not as well, like Mike was saying, not everyone is well-versed into what Des and I know or what David J. might know, or unless they ask or find out. We have to do our research, and thank God we do. But, you know, not everyone is on that same level, and that's not saying you're stupid of anything. That's just saying you're ignorant of the situation and the information. That's not saying you're dumb, okay? That just means you don't know. There's plenty of things I'm ignorant to, and I'd be the first to tell anyone. I'm very ignorant to certain parts of life, and God knows it shows. But when you're talking about people that are at a natural event, there's a good chance when you give them something, they're going to think it's for natural athletes. And nobody's going to really check it because they're trusting in that person that handed it to them. It could be a supplement company. It could be a friend. It could be a coach. You know, like we're seeing right now that the trust level is still high in America, and people are valuing your input, especially when they've given you authority over their bodies and their health. And we should take that much
And I
more
don't
care.
Think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
I think that just raises the bar on the level of service that you're providing as a coach, supplement provider, whoever you happen to be. If someone is turning to you for information and you feel like you can give it to them, I think that raises the bar as far as your level of knowledge and to be able to say the things that you're saying. The trust factor should be there. I should be able to trust my coach.
Yes.
In a lot of instances, you can. It doesn't remove personal responsibility, but by George, I should be able to do that. Ah, so frustrating.
Well,
I mean, and it sounds like, I don't know.
The one thing I would like to add, you know, when we talk about anything, and I'll give the listeners credit for asking some very good questions, and sometimes they're very tough questions, and when we say we'll get back to that, we're not ignoring the question, and I guarantee there's some shows we've done follow-up, and it might be two or three shows later. But we definitely follow through with that. It's just getting that information. Some of these questions you guys ask are very, very tough, and they do require a lot of research because look at what Des was saying about the antagonist and agonist. You know, we looked it up one way, and, oh, we might have screwed it up ourselves. So then we go back and check again, and we check again. And then we go, like, we check with the listeners. I mean, we want to give you an actual answer, not basically a side product of what sounds like it's right. But we want to give you actual facts because if we don't do it, we're no better than the people that we're saying should do better.
Yep. So with that, friends, I don't know. I feel like we beat this horse enough for the past week. And we've
got
some exciting guests. Yep. But we got the answer. We brought it back. And but even in amongst all of this, we've still been working to schedule guests and fill our calendar, and we've got some exciting guests coming up. We've got several shows of pros coming up for you. We're coming around the Thanksgiving holiday, so
I like the way that rhymes.
What? And there
several
you have
shows
it.
Of pros.
So several shows of pros. Thanksgiving holidays are coming. We might have some food tips in there for you. You just never know what we're going to come up with. But for tonight, we thank you. We thank you for tuning in on a special night since we're not normally on the airwaves on Mondays. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Kaylin, who do we have tomorrow night?
We have Noelle Brew, and she won. She got third place at the IP World, and she's going to talk about, you know, what it felt like to have that many special names in attendance as well as on the stage. I mean, it was a packed house with big, big name competitors, male and female, and she was just super excited. And she's actually a regular listener, so she really wanted to know what it's like to be on the other side and be a guest. So we agreed to have her on, and it's going to be a joy. As a matter of fact, you can say it's kind of a Noel kind of feeling.
And tell him what category she placed third in.
Oh, she placed third in figure. I'm sorry.
So there you have it. No, that's okay. It's no fault there, just little extra, because I couldn't specifically remember. I remember seeing her. I remember the face. I remember the physique. I just did not remember the specific category. And, you know, this year, some of the categories kind of blurred together for me, especially women's physique and women's bodybuilding. And looking at all the physiques on the stage, I'm like, oh, my gosh, some of these physiques could go either way. And I know we talk a lot about criteria, and I'm going to need to do my homework before tomorrow night about the differences between women's physique and women's bodybuilding, because right now they're awfully close to me, awfully close for me.
I might be wrong in what I said she placed in. You got me thinking.
Anyway, we'll have the full facts. We'll have the full facts tomorrow night. So with that, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out. There you have it. I tell you what. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and I reckon the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple. So let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.